Very sorry. The ship's speaker system buzzed with announcements. Calls for lost and found children and misplaced belongings. No smoking below decks. Life jackets must be worn at all times. After several rounds of the ship, I felt energized both in body and in mind. Perhaps there was something to this physical fitness curriculum the military recommended. As I rounded the corner on the upper promenade deck, I saw the old man and the little boy. The boy was hard at work, shining shoes for coins. "Greetings. I'm looking for the young fellow from the movie house. Have you seen him?" The old man's eyes narrowed to unbecoming slits. He looked down at my boots.
"I saw you do it, you know."
"Do what?" I responded. Had he seen me snatch the crystal butterfly?
"You took your boot to that poor dog."
"Oh, that," I sighed. "Our Führer would remind you that it makes no sense to support the weak or crippled. In nature, the weaker species simply die." I leaned in toward him, examining his face. "I believe some might classify you as weak. Now, have you seen the fellow from the movie house?"
"What do you need with him?" "He had to wait for additional inspection."
"Inspection, right. Very careful we must be. Can't allow any riffraff or deserters," I said. I left their footwear enterprise and went down a few decks to the gangway entry. "I've been sent to find a young civilian man who just boarded. Tall, brown hair. We just sent someone to the infirmary who matches that description. Maybe that was your man?" I ran to the closest stairwell. I spotted the recruit and called out. He stopped and I made my way up. He looked genuinely happy to see me. "Well, you're exactly who I was looking for." He clapped me on the shoulder, and we continued up the stairs.
Joanna. I held the small bundle next to Amelia, hoping she would make eye contact with the child. The new physician, Dr. Vent, appeared.
"Joanna, a sailor is around the corner asking for you. He seems eager."
I walked out. Alfred again. He grinned and waved me forward.
"Follow me."
Didn't he have work to do? "Alfred, I can't. I'm very busy."
"Come along. Come along."
I felt sorry for Alfred. I had known boys like him in school. Desperate to be a man, yet trapped in his own mind. Girls joked that boys like Alfred made a cow's milk dry up. Alfred stopped at the infirmary and made a grand gesture with his arm.
"Ask and you shall receive."
My stomach gave a little hop. Sitting on a cot in the corner was Florian. Near his feet sat my suitcase. I tried to mask my excitement at seeing him. "My suitcase. Thank you, Florian." Alfred looked at me and raised his eyebrows.
"And?"
"And thank you, Alfred," I said. Alfred paused, eyebrows arched, staring at me. Florian nodded to him in quiet dismissal.
"Thanks again." "Right, yes," said Alfred. "Must get back to work. I'm very busy."
He walked off. I made my way over to the corner, through the rows of wounded soldiers. "You made it," I said. I could feel myself smiling.
"Almost didn't. There's a Nazi on the dock who doesn't like me much."
"And you brought my suitcase. So you found Ava? What about Poet and the boy?"
"They're on board. Ava's on the Hansa. She said to tell you goodbye."
He shifted to look at my face, then reached out and touched my arm.
"You okay?"
I nodded.
"Can you take these stitches out?"
I walked over to a table to retrieve the necessary instruments. I was sad to hear about Ava. We weren't given a chance to say goodbye properly. I returned and Florian began unbuttoning his shirt. The dried blood on his skin now resembled powdered dirt. "Do you have any other clothes?" I asked.
"Are you saying my wardrobe is lacking?"
I smiled. "Very funny. Lie down." I sighed.
That was a big sigh. "What's wrong?"
he asked. "Amelia had the baby."
"The baby didn't make it?"
He seemed genuinely upset. "The baby's fine," I shook my head. "But Amelia isn't."
"What happened?"
he asked. I began removing the stitches. What could I tell him? How much would he even understand? He stared at me. Was he waiting for the story or just looking at me? I took a breath. "There is no boyfriend," I whispered. "The family she was staying with gave her to the Russians to save their daughter. The boyfriend was a story she made up to continue on. She won't really look at the baby yet." His face changed. Sincerity and sadness erased the bravado.
"That kid, she's a warrior."
"Yes, but fighting who?" He looked at me, surprised.
"Everyone. Everything. Fighting fate."
"Now I understand. She clings to you because you saved her from the Russian in the forest. You're proof that there are still good men in the world."
"Stop. Don't say those things."
He stared at the wall. I pulled the last of the stitches from his muscular torso.
"How long until we sail?"
he asked. "They say we'll leave soon."
"I need to find somewhere out of sight,"
he whispered.
"Do you know of a place?"
He had boarded, but now he wanted to hide? I shook my head. "I don't know the ship well yet. I'm constantly getting lost." I watched him button his shirt. "Florian, will you do something for me? Will you come say hello to Amelia? Please. It would really lift her spirits."
Amelia. Was I dreaming? Was the knight really walking toward me? I sat up quickly. His eyes immediately shifted to the baby. "Yes, that's the beautiful girl," Ioana told him. The knight stopped and raised his arms.
"No pink hat? Where's your pink hat?" he asked.
I pointed to a heap of coats. The knight dug through and retrieved the knit cap. He then gently lifted the baby and tucked the hat over her like a blanket. She sat like a little crescent moon in the curve of his arm. He walked over to me. He looked from the baby to me and then back to the baby.
"Hmm. Your eyes. Your nose. Pretty," he said.
He put his lips against the top of the baby's head and closed his eyes. He looked beautiful. Ioana stared at the knight. She thought he was beautiful too. He opened his eyes and whispered to me.
"Kind of incredible.
She is you. She is your mother, your father, your country." He kissed her head and leaned down to whisper in my ear. "She is Poland." My arms lifted and reached for the child.
Florian. We left the Polish girl holding her baby. Ioana followed me out of the maternity area, her face a mixture of shock and confusion. She grabbed my arm and pulled me behind a door.
"What just happened in there?" she whispered. "Who are you?"
I shrugged. "I like kids." I lifted my pack onto my back. "But now I need that sailor to help me find a place to hide."
"Why is he helping you?"
I tried to suppress a smile. I told him he would get a medal.
No, you didn't, said Joanna.
I did.
You're awful.
She laughed.
I'm awful?
Then why are you laughing? I asked. She laughed even harder.
I don't know. I shouldn't laugh.
So stop laughing. She laughed more, leaning against my shoulder. Her face smelled of soap. You look nice, Clean, I said. Her laughter eased, and she smiled.
Thank you. And thank you for bringing my suitcase.
She stood on her toes, took my face in her hands, and kissed me. My arms were around her. I kissed her back, and kissed her again.
And thank you,
she whispered, looking into my eyes.
For Amelia.
She slid from my arms and walked off.
Joanna. The hallway narrowed and tightened with oncoming passengers. I turned the corner to the glass enclosure of the promenade deck. Frozen constellations of ice laced the edges of the window. I put my fingers on the chilled glass, staring out but not looking. I was supposed to be the smart girl. What was I doing? He was younger. I knew nothing about him. He was clearly involved in something deceitful. But if he could be so gentle with the baby, so kind to Amelia, could he really be a bad person? I kissed him because of Amelia. My conscience tapped at me from behind the glass. Or maybe I kissed him because I wanted to. And oh my, it was nothing like chewing crackers. I turned around and leaned against the window. January permeated the glass and my blouse. For the first time in a long time, my body felt warmer than the outside air. Some passengers were visibly relieved and excited to be on board. Others appeared nervous, flittering around like caged birds. I was part of the relieved group. How lucky I was to be on such a large ship. I loved the hulking Gustloff with its thick steel walls and multiple levels. Dr. Richter had told me that the cruiser was only 8 years old, but hadn't sailed in 4 years. The lack of use had left everything in fine order. Once we left Gotenhafen, the voyage to Kiel would take only 48 hours. I would then board a train and finally reunite with Mother. So much had changed since I left Lithuania. Mother said my father and brother were probably fighting in the woods. Could they really survive living in underground bunkers? The Gustloff was my bunker. I felt a deep breath take hold. All the struggle and worry. Could it nearly be over?
Alfred. Hello, my butterfly. I know the separation is difficult, and it must be lonely to fly by yourself. But soon our great country shall prevail, and the dutiful will stand on pedestals of honor. The day is coming. I am relieved to report that the boarding procedure is well underway and that I am warm. Some of the other sailors had to haul life rafts in the freezing cold. I can't imagine where they found such a quantity of rafts. We are told that we will board even more passengers, but I don't know where we shall fit them. The upper cabins are occupied by the privileged, and the refugees have gladly taken to the mattress pads. The ship is not even moving, yet some passengers are wearing life vests. They look quite silly. The Wilhelm Gustloff is now a living, breathing city. Enterprise is afoot. People barter their belongings, and a shoemaker and his apprentice repair shoes on the upper promenade deck. They have amassed quite a sack of coins for their efforts. I'm sure you are wondering about the activities I wrote of earlier. My friendship with the young recruit has developed quite nicely. We share important conversations on all matter of topics. Alas, I'm no longer the dreamy boy you'd wave to at the edge of the schoolyard. I am a man in uniform now. Each day, I find myself in deeper allegiance to our country and our Führer, Hannelore. As such, I have helped the recruit find secret accommodation on board to assist in fulfilling his mission. He was so much obliged that he once again mentioned that upon arrival in Kiel, he will promptly recommend me for a Medal of Valor. Just another one to add to the pile, but appreciated nonetheless. After all, everything I achieve, everything I have done, it is all for you. For you and for Germany. Surely you know that, don't you, Laura?
Amelia. The tiny baby nuzzled against me. The knight said she was part of mother, part of father, part of me. If she was part of us, I wanted her to know our city of Lvov. She should know Poland. Looking at the child, I suddenly became hungry for my country, for its fat bees carrying nectar from apple flowers, and for the birds singing in clusters of hazel. How would she know the truths from the untruths? Would she believe that Poles, Jews, Ukrainians, Armenians, and Hungarians had all coexisted peacefully in Lvov before the war? That I often made tea and donuts with Rachel and Helen in our kitchen? Food. I wanted her to know our food. How my hands missed the feel of dough dusted with flour. My ears missed the snap of apple pancakes in the pan. And my eyes missed the rainbow of fruits and vegetables sealed in jars on the shelves. War had bled color from everything, leaving nothing but a storm of gray. I wanted her to know not only Poland, but my Poland. I pulled her close and whispered in Polish. There were no ghettos, no armbands. I often fell asleep to a breeze floating through my open window. It's true. It was like that once.
Florian. The interior of the chimney measured about 5 meters wide. There was a ladder and a ledge of ample width to lie down on. It was cold, and I couldn't sleep. The chimney was secluded, but it could also be my downfall. If someone looked in and saw me, they would immediately know I was hiding. Should I have stayed in the infirmary? I might have been better camouflaged there, warmer, closer to Joanna. But if the Nazi from the harbor came on board, he'd look for me in the infirmary. I was weighing my options when the hinges on the door rotated. The sailor climbed up the ladder and took a seat next to me. "I've come with news," he announced. "Oh yeah? What's that?" He rubbed his blistered palms together. "I have just observed from the top deck the arrival of hundreds of female naval auxiliaries. They are well-dressed and quite clean." "They're bringing the women's auxiliary on board?" Maybe that meant we'd leave soon. "Yes, there are hundreds of them, and they seem quite plucky." "Where are they going to put them?" I asked. "Are there enough cabins available?" "Oh, no. All of the cabins are quite full already. But I imagine there are those on board who might offer a warm cot." He snorted with laughter. I leaned back against the cold chimney wall. Had this guy been broadsided with a brick at some point? "How long have you been in the service, sailor?" I asked. He stared at his feet, hesitating. "As we share confidences, I will be truthful. I was a late recruit. I had wanted to be part of the youth organizations, but the physical drills were quite rigorous and placed heavy emphasis on athletic competition. I can see you have gifts of strength and coordination." "I do not," I cannot run very fast or jump very far. My gifts lie in other areas. My father was terribly disappointed, but Mutter was relieved. Although Mutter, of course, loves the Führer, she wasn't quite inclined to serve me up. I'm an only child. Your mother loves the Führer, eh? He looked at me, his eyes sober and sharp. Of course. We all love the Führer, sir. As the papers say, the good German fights for the Führer. I certainly do. I will admit that I'm too tender-hearted and at times felt sorry for someone or other who could not be part of the master race. But now I banish such impure thoughts. Such is the nature of sacrifice, is it not? His impure thoughts were radically different from my own. He stared at me. You agree, of course. We are good Germans. His eyes lingered. His speech pattern carried an unsettling cadence. I suddenly had an overwhelming urge to knock him off the ledge. But instead, I just nodded. We are good Germans. So, do you think you could find me some food? I asked.
Joanna. The maternity ward was now full. Three of the women were quite close to their time. Amelia whispered to her baby, inspecting her tiny hands. When I was a little girl, I had two baby dolls and carried them everywhere. Then, I became competitive in school and had no time for dolls. I turned away from Amelia and her daughter, trying to swallow past the strange knotting in my throat. A soldier in a green uniform and black jackboots walked in.
Joanna Vilkas.
The soldier had yellow hair and fair, almost translucent skin. He looked like the men referred to as purebloods, portrayed on the German signs. Can I help you?
I'm here about someone that you helped.
He stood completely still.
One of your patients, the one with a shrapnel wound and a damaged ear.
Amelia's posture tightened. She pulled the infant close and kept her eyes on the soldier.
Can you confirm the name of the patient with the shrapnel wound and the bad ear, Miss Vilkas?
I walked over to him and lowered my voice. I'm not at liberty to give out the patient's names. I'm sure you understand. He became annoyed. This man wasn't used to being refused.
If I am not mistaken, miss, you are Volksdeutsche, a Lithuanian who was allowed to repatriate into Germany. Your liberty belongs to Adolf Hitler. We can certainly hand you back over to Stalin.
He grinned, pleased by the bully within him.
But we wouldn't want to do that. You're too pretty. So can you confirm, then, the name of your patient with the shrapnel wound and damaged ear?
I'm not sure I remember, I whispered. Maybe Friedrich? Or Fritz? The soldier seemed to consider this. What did he already know?
His eyes narrowed. Florian, perhaps? Surname Beck?
He knew more than he was letting on. Yes, that might be it.
Where did you encounter him?
In transit. He was bleeding and suffering a fever. Is there a problem, sir? The soldier ran his finger along the edge of the metal table, as if checking for dust.
If you are telling the truth, then no. There is no problem. But if you are assisting or harboring a deserter, Miss Vilkas, then yes, there's a big problem.
He has papers. Did Herr Beck show them to you? I folded a piece of linen to busy my trembling hands.
He showed me his papers. He also showed me his attitude. It was only after I pressed that he showed me all of his paperwork.
I tried to deflect, but dig. Then you understand the nature of his situation?
Yes, He's a courier for Gulliter Cock. He was wounded, and says Cock appointed you as his personal nurse.
My breath stopped, but my hands kept moving. Gulliter Eric Cock appointed me? What was he talking about?
He shook his head. But there was something, he said, looking at Amelia, and then at me. I didn't believe him. I'd like to take another look at his papers. I sent him to the infirmary, but I can't seem to find him there. Would you happen to have a duplicate of the medical testimony you signed for him?
Medical testimony? That I had signed? What had he done?
I'm sorry, there have been so many, I said. Yes, there are a lot of wounded, so I've sent a wire to Cox's office for confirmation, but thought you might be able to solve the matter more quickly. Did you see him?
Yes, I removed his stitches.
Amelia squirmed in protest, wanting to defend Florian. What did he say? Asked the soldier.
Just that he was tired.
Amelia shot me a ferocious look.
And that he had wanted to board the Hansa instead.
Hansa?
The wandering boy ran in, chest heaving beneath his life vest, tears streaming down his face. He held up the stuffed rabbit. The remaining ear dangled from a strand.
Oh, no!
I exclaimed. He nodded, pouting. Don't you worry. We'll fix him right up. I turned to the soldier.
Are we through, sir? As you can see, I'm about to go into surgery.
Amelia. Florian Beck. The knight was Florian, like Saint Florian, the patron saint of Poland. The Nazi soldier had tried to cause problems. He was clearly full of hate. If he discovered I was Polish, he would throw me off the boat into the Baltic. Joanna paced the floor, sewing the ear of the rabbit back onto its body. She was mad, or thinking. Maybe both. The wandering boy walked over to my cot and peeked at the baby.
Hello, he said to her. I'm Klaus.
I looked at the boy. His cheeks were red, burned from the cold and wind. The large blue life vest dwarfed his body and hung down to his knees. He was alone, like me, but he was only 6 years old. Where were his parents? Mama said that a transplanted bud doesn't prosper. The shoemaker loved him, though. I could tell. He would take care of him, protect him, unlike Frau Kleist.
4 years. We've kept you for over 4 years, Frau Kleist used to complain. Do you know what that's cost me?
My father will come for me, I told her. He will pay you.
She whipped around, furious. Your father's dead. Why do you think I'm so annoyed?
Dead. Her words had squeezed at my throat, run down through my windpipe, and strangled the air from my lungs.
It's not true, I whispered. Please, it couldn't be true.
August appeared at my side.
Of course it's not true.
He pulled me by the arm.
Come on, Amelia. Let's snip the roses for the jam.
He shot his mother a fierce look. The old feelings of fear began to churn within me. The baby stirred in my arms. I looked down. Her little head bobbed, almost nodding at me. And then, our eyes fastened. Her sweet yet steady stare calmed me. My shoulders released, and the fear dissipated. The shoemaker arrived in the maternity ward, panting and out of breath.
You must wait for me, Klaus. These old sticks can't move as fast anymore.
He saw the baby, and his hands flew to his face.
Look, look. A miracle indeed.
Isn't she beautiful? Said Joanna.
What's beautiful, said the old man, is that she has beaten this war. You saw it on the road. Ingrid through the ice. Death and destruction all around. Look what's transpiring down on that pier. Frantic desperation. The Russians are just around the corner.
He moved forward and gestured to the baby.
Yet, amidst all that, life has spit in the eye of death. We must find her some shoes.
Alfred. Dear Hannalora, night falls in the harbor. I sit, reflecting on all that has happened. Do not be misguided by my poetic inclinations. I am not only a watchman. I am a thinker, Laura, and I have been thinking. I have been working in service to a man of great charge. We have a confident understanding of one another and share many attributes. This evening we discussed loyalty. I assured him of my allegiance to Germany's fight. I also confessed of once feeling sympathy for those who are inferior. Be assured that I pull at the roots of these sympathies. I know they are a weakness. They must be torn from the garden. We are good Germans. It is our birthright. As such, it is our duty to sift the sands, preserve the gold, and with it build a stronger national vertebrae. I believe you're also familiar with moments of weakness. I recall your deep sighs of admiration as I swept your sidewalk. Oh yes, dear one, I noticed. I am much more observant than those pests of Hitler Youth. I will admit, Laura, that I was surprised when Mutter held me back from Hitler Youth. My father was ashamed that I was not deemed ready to join the others. He feared consequences. But then I grew tired of those pushy boys and realized I was intended for something much more important. Although it took nearly 5 years for me to join the war effort, I have finally found my calling here in Gotenhafen. My qualities are finally recognized by one of my own, a recruit of steadfast courage. Yes, it is calming in an indescribable way to find oneself. Few men have that opportunity. I am one of those men. I now understand what it is to feel superior. And I quite like it.
Florian. Breath fogged from my mouth. My stomach rumbled. I thought of our warm kitchen at home in Tilsit, the soft ring of the lids trembling on their pots, and my sister's laughter echoing through the house. When my mother died of tuberculosis, my father's greatest concern was Ani. How will I raise a proper girl on my own? He said. Ani was 13 when I last saw her. She would be nearly 16 now. Would I recognize her if I passed her on the street? Where had she been, and what had she experienced? The door squealed. Anyone hungry up there? Yelled the voice. Such an idiot. Shh, I reminded him once again. Ah, yes, we must be covert. He climbed the ladder. I feel my physique responding, he announced. I have made exercise a priority and am seeing benefits. In fact, I believe the benefit now expands to my hands, which seem to be improving. I didn't want to think about his clotted hands. What have you brought to eat? I asked. He removed the shoulder strap and handed me my canteen. It hadn't felt that heavy for a long time. Thank you. I drank immediately. He then produced a large chunk of bread from inside his shirt, along with a slice of meat wrapped in paper. Most are eating pea soup, you see, but that would be quite challenging to transport, he explained. When are we leaving? I asked. Word is that we could depart any minute. An artillery blast sounded in the distance. He twitched and plastered himself against the wall of the chimney. Still miles away, I told him. But they're advancing. I pictured my father's maps. I could see swarms of Russians plowing into East Prussia toward the coast of the Baltic Sea, flattening Germany's Wehrmacht and all of us in the process. He scratched his wrist. May I ask, are you good with weaponry? I nodded. You? Better with my mind, he said. I'm what is commonly referred to in philosophical circles as a thinker. I prefer to capture all angles mentally. I observe. I am a watchman. But sometimes there's no time to think, I told him. We just have to act. I quite disagree, respectfully, of course. I see many who act on instinct, which I believe is wrong. Through instinct, we succumb to weakness and emotion. Careful thought and planning, mental construction, is always best. The impulse to hit him returned. I swallowed the last of the bread. Obstacles do not exist to be surrendered to, but only to be broken, said the sailor. I think of this wisdom often. Of course, you're familiar with these words. You've read Adolf Hitler's Mein Kampf, he asked. I didn't answer the question. You know, you strike me as an intelligent guy. It might be better for you to think for yourself, rather than memorizing the words of others. Why, thank you. Mutter always praises my sharp mind. He turned to me, his top lip curled in a grin. And I do think for myself. But the wisdom of the Führer, it fills me with an indescribable command. His grin widened, and he began to recite. Only in the steady and constant application of force lies the very first prerequisite for success. He stared at me, pupils dilated. Isn't that beautiful? I didn't respond. Small hairs on the back of my neck lifted in warning. This guy wasn't a sailor. He was a sociopath in training. Have you seen the nurse? I asked him. I'll go get her, he said eagerly. No. But he had scrambled down the ladder and out the door before I could stop him.
Joanna. I took a breath, trying to control my anger. How could he do this to me? Tomorrow morning I could walk down to the pier and find the blonde soldier. I could tell him that I realized I was mistaken. I didn't write any sort of medical testimony, that I knew nothing of it. The soldier had said I was Volksdeutsche, of German ancestry. It was true. Germany had saved me from Stalin. What now did I owe to Germany? Joanna? The voice came soft from over my shoulder. I turned. Amelia stared at me, her eyes full of concern. No, she whispered. Please. Were my thoughts visible?
Excuse me, Fräulein.
Alfred stood at the edge of the ward.
A certain gentleman has requested an audience with you, he said.
Where is he? I asked.
I will take you, he said. You might want to bring your coat.
I tried to hurry Alfred, but it was no use. The ship was so overcrowded it was impossible to move quickly. How many thousands of people had they boarded?
But when will I see them?
Sobbed a young girl in the corridor. Don't cry, sweetheart, said an old woman. You were lucky to be the one chosen in your family. Your mother will come for you in a couple years. You'll see. The time will go quickly. The crying girl looked to be 10 or 11. How would she make it on her own? Alfred, there are so many. They'll have to remove some passengers, won't they? I asked.
No. I've heard that we have over 8,000 already. We are still boarding.
8,000? The ship's capacity was not even 1,500. We passed cabins intended for 4 people. A dozen were squeezed in, trying to sleep, suitcases and luggage stacked to the ceiling.
This is quite civilized, said Alfred. This afternoon, over 300 girls from the Naval Auxiliary arrived. They are at the very bottom of the ship, in the drained swimming pool.
I realized how fortunate I was to be in the maternity ward. There was space and relative calm. We waded through the sea of people toward the stairwell. Some were wearing life vests, which took up even more space. We climbed the stairs. The air became cooler. I put on my coat. Alfred stopped me and put his finger to his lips. We let some people in the stairway pass. He then opened a small door in the stairway and pulled me by the sleeve of my coat. We were inside a hollow chamber. Where are we? I asked.
In the chimney,
he announced.
Shh!
Echoed from above. I looked up and saw Florian climbing down an interior ladder. Alfred, I said, would you mind leaving us for a moment?
Florian. She slapped me. When I didn't react, she raised her hand again. This time I caught her arm. How dare you? She breathed. What are you talking about? I said. Her face was an inch from mine. You know what I'm talking about, she whispered. You forged a letter. You said I was appointed by Eric Koch. Do you know what they could do to me? I let her go. What happened? She threw her arms in the air. The blonde Nazi, the one you mentioned, he came to the maternity ward looking for you. What did you tell him? I told him nothing. That I knew nothing. The speed of her words increased. But he told me he had seen your papers, that you're a courier for Koch, and that Koch appointed me as your nurse. Shh, I repeated. That sailor is probably listening to every word. He should, she whispered. He thinks he's a hero, helping you with some spy mission for the Reich. That guy is no hero. You need to stay away from him. You're putting us in terrible danger. It's not fair. Ava said you were a spy. Ingrid said you were a thief. I should have believed them. What were my options? She could turn me in. Would she?
Joanna. We stood staring at each other.
Tell me what you want to know, said Florian.
Are you really carrying something for Goleider Koch?
No, I'm carrying things for myself, he said. A piece of art.
You stole art?
No, the Nazis stole art.
Was he telling me that he had taken art from the Nazis?
Stop being so cryptic.
He sighed, then spoke in a whisper.
I'm a restoration artist, Joanna. I repair and restore works of art. Initially, that's why I wasn't drafted. I worked at a museum in Königsberg. I preserved and packaged art for the museum director and his contacts. But then I learned that they were using me.
So you stole some art to get back at them?
Not just some art. A priceless piece.
He paused.
Let's just say that I've taken a piece that will leave a puzzle incomplete.
None of it made sense, and either way, I didn't want to be implicated.
Do you love your country? Do you love your family?
He asked. Of course, I told him.
So do I. I have a younger sister out there somewhere. I'm all she has left. I think of her every day. My father made maps. He worked for the men who tried to assassinate Hitler. So the Nazis killed my father and sent a bill to our house. 300 Reichsmarks for his execution. Do you understand? The Nazis wanted me to pay them for murdering my father. How would you feel if Stalin demanded payment for killing someone you love?
Stop.
Well, you're acting so virtuous. You're harboring a Polish girl and her baby in the maternity ward.
Lower your voice. That's different, and you know it.
She's a victim. I need to help her, I said.
It doesn't matter. If they find out that you falsified the identity of a Pole and brought her on board, taking a space for a German, you're done. We're both up to our necks.
But I won't turn you in. Poet's not going to turn us in. I'm not a spy, Joanna. I'm not working for anyone. I'm working for myself, for my family, and others like mine.
If anyone discovers the truth, I'll tell them that I forged the letter and that you knew nothing about it.
What if they don't believe you? I asked.
I'll show them. I'll take out your letter and my notebook. I'll show them how I practiced forging your signature.
What letter? He paused, then pulled in a breath.
The note you left in the kitchen at the manor house. I took it.
You took my note? I had worried so intensely about that piece of paper that they would find my name in that house. Florian had it the whole time.
I took the note because I was trying to protect you, he whispered.
Well, protect yourself. That soldier told me that he's wired cock about you. The door opened, and Alfred's pale face appeared.
Pardon the interruption. Would you mind if I left my post to use the facilities?
Not at all, I said. I'm leaving.
Amelia. The ship was full of unnatural sounds. Steel doors clanging. Hollow footsteps. Desperate echoes. Nature. The outdoors. Even the farm. It all felt so far away. I had worked so hard for the Kleists. Frau Kleist claimed everything I did was wrong, but she was all too happy to let me clean, cook, and preserve for her. The cold store cellar on the edge of the property became my favorite place. On hot days, I'd sit on an apple box outside with the cool stones against my back. August repaired the shelves for me when he was home. Elsa would linger nearby, begging for a spoonful of rose petal jam. It wasn't Elsa's fault. But I wondered, did she ever think of it? Did she remember the trail my heels carved in the dirt as they dragged me across the yard? Did my screams echo in her head as they did in mine? Or perhaps, like me, she tried to forget it all and think instead about a spoonful of rose petal jam.
Florian. Was she telling the truth? Had the soldier really contacted Koch's office, or did she say that because she was mad and wanted to scare me? I waited until the middle of the night, when I hoped everyone would be asleep. I had noted toilet facilities in the corridor as the sailor walked me to the chimney. I quietly slipped out of the small door with my pack, keeping my head down. People occupied every possible space, yet my lavatory visit went undetected. I then went to the maternity ward to see Joanna. If what she said was true, the ship would be swarming with soldiers hunting for me at first light. I peeked in but didn't see her. The Polish girl slept, the baby cradled in her arms. I walked to the infirmary. It was a solemn sight. Wounded men on wooden pallets lined within a foot of each other. Joanna tended to a soldier nearby. Their words were easily heard in the quiet dark.
"Well, you're not wearing a wedding ring," said the soldier.
"No, but I told you, I have a boyfriend. Now you rest quietly, and let me finish with this bandage."
"Let me be your boyfriend," Just for tonight, pleaded the soldier. My fingers curled into a fist. Please, just let me finish, said Ioana, her voice taut. The soldier continued to pester. He grabbed her with his good arm. Come on, give me a little kiss. Hey! The word came out before I could stop it. There you are, said Ioana. I was just telling Sergeant Mueller about you. I'm almost done here. I stepped back into the corridor to remain out of sight from the men. Ioana walked out of the infirmary. What do you want? Does that happen often? I asked. They're delirious. She sighed, fatigued, and tucked a curl behind her ear. I'm busy. What do you want? What did I want? I wanted the war to be over so I could ask her out. I need to know. Did the soldier really say that he had wired Koch? I asked. She looked up at me. I couldn't read her expression. I told myself that her eyes weren't pretty and that I didn't want to kiss her. She just stared. Did he really say he had contacted Koch? I repeated. Yes, she finally whispered.
Alfred. Arguments began before the sun rose. Flotation rafts, life vests, weather. The commotion was unsettling to my mind. I decided it would be best to descend to E-deck to check on the hundreds of ladies in the drained pool. It was quite warm at the bottom of the ship. I wondered if the women might shed their uniforms for comfort. They played cards, slept, combed their hair, huddled in groups, and preoccupied themselves in general feminine behavior. I found them fascinating to observe, and decided to remain concealed for 1, maybe 2 hours, to further my studies. At 10 o'clock, my surveillance was disrupted by a group of soldiers who marched onto E-deck, sending the girls into a flurry. They announced they were looking for a specific passenger. It was the perfect time to present my services. I stepped out of the shadows and approached the men. The leader was a fine specimen. Hair as yellow as the sun, and clear, unblemished skin. Good morning, sir. Might I be of service? The soldier seemed surprised by my presence. He's been spying on us all morning, said one of the women. He's harmless. The other girls laughed. I did not appreciate their laughter at my expense, nor did I like the feeling it created inside of me. I suddenly detested these insipid women. They were disgusting and stupid. Who are you looking for? We've seen a few fellas wander down here, said one of the girls from inside the drained pool. Can you describe him for us? The soldier knelt down at the edge of the pool. Tall guy, long brown hair, civilian clothes, blood-stained shirt. Name is Florian Beck. He's probably trying to stay out of sight. Gauleiter Koch has a message for him. They would quickly realize their error in their laughter toward me. I was, after all, soon to receive a medal. I cleared my throat. Excuse me, sir, but I may be able to deliver that message to your desired party. The soldier threw a glance at me over his shoulder. I wasn't talking to you. Get lost. The girls giggled. They were dismissing me, laughing at me. The familiar anger began to rise. I did not serve this soldier. I did not serve my father. I served only one. The one. Heil Hitler! I yelled, slicing my right arm through the air in salute. I turned on my heel and walked out.
Ioana. I placed the baby in Amelia's arms and leaned down to whisper. I told Dr. Richter I found a Latvian to translate. I think he believed me. Amelia didn't look convinced. I righted my posture and my voice. Have you thought of a name yet? She nodded, smiling. Alinka. Alinka, that's a beautiful name, I said. My mother's name was Helena. My father always called her Helinka. I thought of my own father. How long would the Soviets occupy our country? Ava had said the occupation could last as long as 10 years. That couldn't be true. I heard the stiff step of boots. The blonde Nazi entered the room.
Good morning, Litvinka. Ready to sail?
Can't be soon enough, I replied. What do you need?
Are you always so serious?
He asked, sauntering toward me.
I was just down on E-deck. The girls in the pool are much friendlier.
Perhaps they're not as busy as I am.
I'm busy, too, he said.
He removed his brimmed hat and placed it under his arm.
I'm still looking for your patient, Florian Beck. The office received a return wire from Gauleiter Koch.
He stared at me. He was alone. Relaxed. If Florian was to be arrested, there would be rushing, searching, more soldiers. What's the message? I asked.
Ah, you're interested, he said.
My curiosity burned. I reluctantly gave him my best smile, trying to coax details from him. A nurse is always interested in her patients.
Can I be a patient?
He asked. His smugness was annoying. This was the type of man who looked at a picture on the wall and, instead of admiring the photo, looked at his own reflection in the glass. I forced myself to flirt with him and stepped in close. Let's see how well you communicate with the nursing staff. Read me the message. He removed a piece of paper from his pocket and read,
Have Beck contact me directly. Tell DRL dead. Keys needed. Urgent.
I repeated the message in my mind, memorizing it. I stepped away from him and back toward Amelia. Gauleiter Koch had sent a direct message. Florian wasn't lying.
Well,
said the soldier.
Sounds like you'd better deliver that message to Herr Beck. Yes, but he seems to have disappeared, he said.
I told you. He wanted to board the Hansa.
Hansa is pulling out now.
Well, then I guess you've missed your chance, haven't you?
Florian. The Prussian. That's what Joanna called me. I thought of the Prussian flag, a black eagle on a white background. What would happen to the Kingdom of Prussia and its 40 million inhabitants? Its legacy reached back to the 13th century, but now lay crushed underfoot. Can history disappear if it's written in blood? A noise roared. I nearly fell off the ledge in the chimney. My heart hammered. Was it an alarm? An air raid? And then I realized. It was the air horn. The ship was finally departing. I peeked through the seam in the steel and immediately wished I hadn't. The scene below was horrifying. I had never seen such desperation. Those left behind on the dock were frantic to come on board. Faces contorted as they screamed and begged. Mothers tried hurling their infants to passengers up on deck, but they couldn't throw high enough. Their babies smashed against the side of the ship and plunged into the sea. Women screamed and dove into the water after the children. A man dressed as a woman was beaten by a sentry when he tried to rush the gangway. I watched it all from above, sick with sympathy, as they cried and screamed that they would die if they were not allowed to board. The Gustloff was their only hope. I clutched my pack, shaking my head in disbelief. The Gustloff was my only hope as well. And I had made it.
Alfred. Good afternoon, my little Laura. I am elated to report that we have finally departed this infernal port. The gangways were lifted around 12:20 p.m., amidst the wails of the unworthy on the dock. We have exited the mouth of the harbor and are on our way to Kiel, cutting through the sea like Neptune with his trident. The weather, however, is proving